Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for starting the weekend with us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. If you're not in Starkville, if you're not in Tupelo, head to the website, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Get it delivered right to your door each and every day. You can start the day the right way with Strange Brew Coffee. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that
beef,
it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Or if you're just doing a weeknight meal. That's what I did last night. I made some steak fried rice.
Sounds wonderful.
It was really good. Really good. And it was loaded up with steak, and that's how I like it. So, and how long did that take me to cook, Carlo? Ask the question.
Probably not long.
Not long at all.
Easy meal.
I got home around 6. We were eating around – I'm sorry, I got home around 7 because yesterday was Wednesday. But we were eating around 7:35, something like that.
That's good timing.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Efficient.
If you're looking for great weeknight meal suggestions, A, you can just ask. But B, you can just go to msbeef.org. I'm happy to give you that website as well. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything maroon and white is at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area. Original by Fleet Feet, flow by the Half Shell. You can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. If you've got a grad, that's a great place to shop for a gift for them. Mom, Mother's Day is coming up. Father's Day is coming up. It's all right there for you at College Corner. Jackson, two locations, or the website, collegecornerstore.com. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, then talk to the good people at Priority One Bank, bankers that know you by name, not just by your account number, bankers that treat you with respect. If you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank location, let Priority One Bank make you their priority. A little later in the show, another spring football preview. We'll have two of them on the podcast feed today, but only one on the show, and that's South Carolina. Lulu Kesson of the Greenville News will join us to talk about the Gamecocks. That's State's first SEC game of the year, a big, big game for Mississippi State. But we will obviously start with baseball, and let's start with some outside of Mississippi State. So on Wednesday night, another weird non-conference loss, and Oregon State, they dropped a game yesterday to, I want to be sure I have the team right. I think it was, yeah, UT, Texas, Rio Grande Valley. They lost 9-7 at home to the number 100 RPI team in the country. What does that mean? It means they've dropped from 10 to 15. Mississippi State is now up 5 spots this week. They are the number 10 RPI team in the country. When you look at the top 10 RPI, there are at least 3 teams that I would say with confidence are not going to be top 8 seeds, and that's Alabama, Southern Mississippi, and USC. There's another one in there, Auburn, who Mississippi State plays, and you got to think that right now the way that series is looking, it might be a top 8 seed elimination matchup, but that's not where State is this week. They are taking on the Texas Longhorns, the number 3 team in the RPI. Really good baseball team. They've been consistent all year long. Good at bats, good at pitching. They're just a good team. They're hitting .299 as a team. Plenty of power in that lineup. Aiden Robbins with 18 home runs. Carson Tinney with 16. Casey Borba with 11. So three guys with double-digit home runs. They can put the ball out of the ballpark. From a pitching perspective, also very good. 3.69. Nice. ERA. What?
Why'd you say nice?
I think you know why I said nice.
I just wanted you to say it.
I mean, do I have to say it?
No.
Everybody knows why I said nice.
No, you can keep reading.
They know why I said it. Teams are hitting .218 against the Longhorns this year. Just a really solid up and down the lineup baseball team. Jim, no surprise there. Jim Schwarzenegger, a really, really good coach. This is going to be a really tough challenge for Mississippi State to they just need to avoid being swept. And, you know, that's something you and I can say, right? You know, I'm sure O'Connor's not over there like, guys, if we just get one game, we should be happy. I would imagine that's not the conversations being happening on the plane or on the bus right now. But if they do get one game this weekend, they're absolutely still on track for everything they want to do. But the possibility exists that they could find their way to getting that. Have you seen enough from State these last couple weekends to make you think they've completely shaken off what happened with against Georgia and Tennessee?
I would say, I don't know if completely shaken off, but their confidence is there, and I definitely gained more confidence in this winning streak, especially with the last four games, because three of them they come from behind, and they beat LSU in three games that, I mean, we talked about this earlier in the week. Their starting pitching was horrendous. I mean,
awful.
You got to think, if their starting pitching is, you know, average what they've been this year, they probably win those games fairly easily. Now, LSU is one of the worst teams in the conference. Ole Miss, up to last week, was very hot. I mean, they were beating a lot of people. And then,
that Sunday game took something out of Ole Miss.
But they beat them still. State beat them pretty handily. I mean, they were, what, hovering on the top 10 RPI. So this win streak, the way that they've done it the last four games and manufacturing runs, looks like the team of old. Now, Texas is going to be a challenge. It would have been a challenge for the team that played before Georgia and Tennessee, but it's going to be a challenge either way. If they can somehow win this series, Brian, I mean, how big would that be for just about everything they want to do?
Winning this series would put them in a position. They would be what? Let's just say they got two out of three. They'd be what, 15-9, with six games remaining. If they could just win three more games at 18-12,
you're definitely a top
eight. Most certainly a top eight seed. Yeah. And then obviously, if you could somehow, you know, do more than that at 19, you're talking about creeping up into the top five. I would think. But again, just winning the game would be enough for Mississippi State. Just if they can go over there and get one game, that fulfills, you know, that would be the assignment that needed to be understood at that point. They would understand, they would come out of that saying we're in a good shape. What's interesting about State, or at least I find kind of interesting, is our State's hitting 314 as a team, right? But they have so many guys. You know, Maluski is not hitting the ball particularly well in conference play. Stallman, Woodson. Texas is just like everybody's kind of bunched together. Like they don't have a guy who's hitting 200 in the starting lineup. They everybody's around 260, 270, and then they have their top guys. So, you know, State's lineup can be difficult to get through because there's a lot of threats. You know, if you make a mistake to Maluski, it's gone. Whereas with Texas, it just feels like it's more like death by a thousand paper cut.
Yeah.
They will just keep hitting the baseball.
And that's what it felt like for Mississippi State earlier in the season when everybody – I mean, I remember there was a point on Twitter I saw a picture of their batting lineup like 20, 25 games in, and almost everybody was at over 300. Close guys were in 400 range.
Yeah.
That's what a winning program does. Not that State isn't one, but – I mean, that's what you get, and that's what you want. You
don't, they have consistencies.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And, I mean, they were good last year, good every year. I mean, you talked about their coach. Just the consistency and the not leaning on one guy has got to be a very good thing to have, and especially for a team as good as them. And, I mean, you talked about their pitching, too. Their pitching has been outstanding. What we saw out of the starting pitching last weekend – they will get swept if that is even close to what happens.
Agreed.
I was going to say this earlier. I think games one and two are very important. Now, game three obviously still means the same whether they win any of the first two. But you can't go down 0-2 and have the confidence to win game three. I mean, we've seen it. Georgia, Tennessee. I mean, not that they didn't – I'm not doubting that they're not trying.
Right.
But if you go down 0-2, I feel like it's a little bit harder to win that game.
It's very difficult.
Because then you've got the rubber match where, okay, the series is still on the line.
Right.
I mean, that's a little bit more motivating.
Go back to last week. I think if State had lost on Friday, they would have been in real trouble.
Yeah.
Like the rest of the weekend. But giving them – getting a win gives you that boost. You always – and, you know, I feel like State's best chance to win is always Friday because that's when they throw Valinkas.
Yeah.
I don't see Valinkas having back-to-back.
No, I don't either.
Subpar performances. So the rotation, I don't know the rotation for Texas, but I know that their three main starters are Dylan Volantis, Ruger Rojas, and Luke Harrison. ERAs are 2.06, 3.88, and 3.93. These are very good, consistent pitchers.
Friday might be like a 4-3 game.
Well, I mean, and that's, you know, that's what SEC baseball has always been. Like, Friday is the low-scoring game. Saturday can go kind of either way. And then Sunday is whoever has enough pitching usually wins. But you will see some 11-8, 12-10 kind of games. And that's just how it is. In a low-scoring game, I like State's chances. You know,
definitely.
I think that, you know, I trust Valinkas more than just about any other pitcher in the country. He's been so good this year, but Valantis is very good for Texas as well. I mean, on the season, he's 6-0, 2.06 ERA. Teams are hitting 193 against him, 80 strikeouts, only 17 walks in 56 and two-thirds innings. He's only given up 41 hits in 56 and two-thirds
That's
innings.
Good.
So, I mean, is the whip under one there? 41 plus 17 is – the whip is just a hair over one. So, yeah, really, really good baseball team. This is going to be a very tough series for Mississippi State.
It's gonna be a big challenge.
I think, you know, I go back to the preseason, looking at the end of the year. And at the time, you had three top 10 teams in LSU, Auburn, Texas, and Texas A&M was in the top 25. And I was like, man, those four series, that's going to be really, really tough. I couldn't have known at the time that LSU was going to completely implode.
Nobody
could that. Have.
Yeah.
But State, you know, if you go back to February and said, what is State's record going to be in these 12 games? I would have said, man, if they're 6-6, they're doing pretty good. Well, they're already 3-0. So they just got to find a way to win three more games and they would be at that 6-6. Now, I don't know if that's enough. You know, three more wins would be 16-14.
Probably need four to be comfortable.
At 16 and 14, you're probably hosting, but you're like the 14 or 15, six, the 13 seed, something like that. At 17 wins, they're going to be in the top eight discussion. They're probably somewhere from between 8 and 12. At 18 wins, there's no question in my mind they would be a top eight seed. So
they would need to go 5-4 to get 18.
They have to find an extra win. So we're doing this on the idea that they're going to get a win against A&M, get a win against Texas, and get two against Auburn, right? Don't get swept in the road series, win the home series. That gets you to 17. The extra win is either win one of the road series or sweep Auburn. Now, if you sweep Auburn next weekend, it doesn't really matter as long as you don't get swept. But you cannot – the sweeping streak, if State sweeps, great. But if it's not – if State's going to lose this series, they cannot afford to be swept.
It's crazy that it's been six straight.
It's an absolute statistical anomaly.
It's insane. Yeah. For a team that is as good as they are this year, it makes no sense.
And they're not so good that they should have just swept four opponents in this time either. I mean, they had a chance to drop the Friday game at Ole Miss.
They've got two road sweeps.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Crazy.
They had a chance to drop the Friday game at Ole Miss. They had chances. You know, South Carolina had chances on Friday and Sunday against them. LSU this past weekend led 3-0 going
in every game.
3-0 going into the bottom of the first of every game. We talked about State's starting pitching and the way that it looked. And I said, you know, if I saw those stats, I would have said State got swept. I don't even need to see those stats. I just need to see what was the score going into the bottom of the first inning of every game. If you told me 3-0, I was like, there's no way they won all three.
You go in the bottom of the seventh of every game.
Yeah, something like that. So, massive series for Mississippi State. They haven't announced rotations as we're recording yet. I can't imagine there's any changes coming for State. They'll go Valinkas, Stone, and then Foster. I don't, you know, after talking to O'Connor on Monday, I don't think this is the weekend where Ryan McPherson makes a return. I would be very surprised by that.
What did you feel? Not to make a prediction or
do any pressure. O'Connor sounded confident he'll be back before the end of the regular season. So when is that neutral site game? Or not neutral site game. When is that last non-conference game? Is it week?
I think it's after – yeah, it's after the series. It's on Tuesday against
– against Nichols State.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they're Nichols State any longer or just Nichols.
I think they're
– according to the according to good old hellstate.com, they're just Nichols. So maybe so, you know, which is fine because Nichols is not a state. So could you possibly see McPherson get an inning in that situation or just give him a couple of batters and then see how he feels and then maybe throw him back out there? Not as the starter, but give him some opportunities against Auburn could be. But could be, you know, the last week where they're like, look, we can get through these next 2 weeks. Give him all the time in the world, and then go to Texas A&M, and he has a role to play there. But O'Connor sounded pretty confident that
he'll be back.
That he'll be back before the SEC tournament, and that everything is going according to plan.
Good,
and that's the main thing, right? There haven't been any setbacks. You know, it's been like, okay, he was hurt here, Here's the rehabilitation program. We haven't had to go back on anything. Everything has been progressing the way you want. So
he told you he was throwing about, what, 3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just nothing serious. He's not on the mound. He's not doing full bullpens or anything like that. Just working his way back into it. Mm. So that's such an interesting, like, you think about forearm tightness, and we've all suffered from that. You have tendonitis or something. And, like, how would that affect the pitcher? I could see where that would be a scary thing,
mm-hmm.
because you're like, what's wrong with my arm? Like,
yeah.
It's not when you're throwing the ball, that's got to be a painful thing. So
did you see it when it happened?
Well, I didn't. I saw that I remember the game. It was against Vandy, and he was messing with his arm. And, you know, your brain immediately goes, oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that Tommy John? Are we about to see a Tommy John? Knowing that McPherson already had Tommy John gave me some hope, gave me some confidence, I should say, that it wasn't that, right? Like, once you had that surgery, that ligament's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, in my brain, you know, your first thought is Tommy John. But I was like, it's just something. But it's never good when a guy has to come off the mound.
No.
It's never good when he's shaking the arm.
Warm-up pitch, too.
Yeah, and so I didn't know. But, again, you know, O'Connor, every time we've asked about McPherson has been
very positive.
He's moving forward in the right direction. So I'm hopeful. I would love to see him next week. I don't expect to see him this week, though.
No.
I just don't. So massive series for the Bulldogs as they head to take on Tech. And here's the other – this is the I don't know if the dirty little secret is the right way to describe this or not, but, you know, State is not out of the race to win the conference championship.
No.
They are currently they're 3 games out. They would have to be ahead of Georgia. They can't just be tied with them, obviously. But Georgia has some tough series coming up.
Who do they have left?
Let's see here. Where's the – I got to scroll down a little bit. They're not – I still understand how Georgia's 19th in the RPI. They have some bad losses, I guess is what it is. Georgia's next 3 series, they have Missouri. That's not – I take it back. Georgia doesn't have tough games at all. They have Missouri. Then they have LSU. They do finish having to go to Auburn. That'll be a tougher series.
Yeah.
But basically what State needs to have happen, it's going to be a stretch. They need Missouri and LSU to get a game and then Auburn to maybe beat them 2 out of 3, and then they could get back in it. But they'd have to win enough games. But State mm-hmm. is 11-8. They're 3 games out of first. They're currently alone in first in the wait a minute, how is that possible? How is State 11? This is not even accurate.
Wait, they're 13.
The SEC. Ladies and gentlemen, the SEC, this conference that makes $1 billion a year plus, and their website is not updated from last week's game.
Yeah, they're 13-8 now.
They're 13-8, and I believe Georgia is
16-5.
No, they didn't sweep last weekend. They're 16-7. They're 15-7. So State's 2 games back.
Okay.
So it's possible.
It's definitely
doable.
It's doable.
You need Missouri and LSU of all teams to kind of help you out. That's going to be difficult. But if State finishes second or third in the SEC, though, that's going to be a top 8 seed.
For sure.
No question about it. So big series for the Bulldogs. We will recap it, obviously, on our Monday show. All right, let's do a spring preview. That's brought to you by our friends. Let's move into that. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District, the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. So look, this guy just texted me. He was at Two Brothers last night. This guy, it's like, just got some wings for love of the game. Doesn't even count.
Getting practice reps in.
I just want to tell you something. I'm gonna tell you a story. Yeah. There was another guy one time who was a much bigger man than you, like a large human, who challenged me to a wing eating contest one time. I humbled him that day. It was not pleasant. So you know, you just might want to. Just take a step back, because you don't.
You don't want to get in the ring. You don't tug on Superman's cape. Oh, I could. I'm tugging on it.
Oh,
I could get in the ring with you.
Okay, is that what you think?
I know.
No, you know it.
My wing eating capability.
Do you?
I do.
You know, I'm kind of like the Incredible Hulk. You know, you've seen the first Avengers movie.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah. The first
where
one.
Like he hasn't had the incident in a long time,
yeah.
And they're like, how have you kept it under control? And he's like, I've got a secret, and at the end, you find out the secret is he's just always angry.
Yeah,
I'm always hungry, so like I've tried to tamp it down. I don't eat the way that I used to, back in the day.
But you can,
it's still there.
You turn back the clock.
I could just like that.
Okay.
And I'm just saying, if you want to spend some money some night, we could do it where it's like whoever eats the most whoever eats the least got to pick up the tab.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you're ready for that conversation.
Oh, I'm ready for
okay.
it.
Okay. Okay. He's talking a lot of noise.
Hey, I'm just saying, if you look at the evidence of this season,
the evidence. You've been to more games. Like, what's our wing per game average? I need the analytics. I need the advanced
well,
stats.
You have to think. I only get the wings for this competition that count when I go to the game.
Yeah, same here.
Maybe you need to go some midweeks then.
Well, there's only one left, and so I'm not going to be there. So anyway, Two Brothers Smoke Meats. So maybe a wing eating competition coming to Two Brothers very, very soon. So I'm going to have to put this young buck in his place.
All right.
Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. Let me tell you something. I can sell more copiers than you, too. I can do that, too.
Got me beat there.
Yeah, if you're looking for a copier or a printer, computers, laptops, whatever it is, Advantage Business Systems, that's the people to know and the people you can trust to not only give you the piece of equipment that you need, but to give you the service long after the sale is made. They know you. They treat you like a neighbor. They don't treat you like a number. And they have been taking care of your customers for 5 decades. So as long as I've been alive, they've been doing business with people here in the state of Mississippi. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go. Are you looking for great Mississippi State gear here in Starkville at the Golden Triangle? Nobody with a bigger, better, or more unique selection than my friends over at Maroon & Co. Maroon & Co. has more hats than everybody else has everything. That's the kind. A lot of rope hats, if you're interested.
I've been there.
Yeah, it's a wide selection. Go through a lot of rope.
Yeah, if you're under 25, you can go to that section. Apparently.
Yeah.
I think everybody can wear a rope hat. But.
I'm just saying. Whatever you're looking for, Maroon and White, whatever you're looking for, Mississippi State, they've got it at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Before your next game at Diddy Noble Field, make sure you make a trip to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo is the place to find the John Deere power that you are looking for. It's been a nasty, rainy week here in the Golden Triangle and across the state of Mississippi. What does that mean? It means the grass is going to grow, and you've got to be ready to get after it. John Deere will make that happen for you. A John Deere commercial mower is probably what you're looking for. They've got them at Scruggs with great financing and great deals available. Give them a call. Talk to their credit department. They'll put together a deal for you. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. They have what you want for less. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, Good Hope Land and Timber is the name to know and the name to trust. These are great people, experts in their field. You can make them experts in your field with a quick phone call. If you're trying to buy or sell land, or if you're just trying to manage your own land, manage your timber, keep your resources sustainable, but make sure your profits are where you want them to be, Good Hope Land and Timber can help you with all of those things. Give them a call today at 601-442-9888, or you can visit them online at g-hope.com. Good Hope Land and Timber, locally trusted, landowner approved. Mississippi State, South Carolina. I saw this graphic going around for Mississippi State's...
I know what you're talking about. All-time record.
Well, record. Not all-time, but it was
2000.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
8-1. Now, I know a part of that is from 2000 to 2008, Mississippi State played South Carolina every year. That was back when you had 8 conference games and you had 2 permanent opponents from the East, and states were Kentucky and South Carolina. State did not win a game in there.
Mm.
I think they changed that. What year did they change? Did they play South Carolina every year? I know they lost to them in 2000 because I was at that one. 2001, they lost to them in 02. They lost to them. They may not have played them in 03. So I guess that's when it changed. But I know that the end of the Jackie Sherrill era and the Sylvester Croom era, they never beat South Carolina. Mullen, I think, only won one against South Carolina. That was in 2016. I know he lost them in 2011 because I remember that game. I'm sure you remember when Jonathan Banks and Alshon Jeffrey were going head to head. They lost in 2013. That was the game where Dak got Dak. That was the game where I think Dak's mom had just passed away, and he had a really bad game. I mean, as you would expect. And then I don't think Moorhead played them. Leach didn't play them, but Arnett lost his one game to them. in 2023. So for two programs that I don't feel have a huge gap between them, Carlo.
Weird.
Why is we were talking yesterday about Ole Miss, Mississippi State baseball. Two programs that historically, yes, the gap is large. But over this last 10 years where State has dominated this rivalry, the gap has not been that large. There have been some years where Ole Miss was better than Mississippi State, but State would still win. I don't understand why South Carolina has such dominance in this series.
Yeah, I saw that graphic you're talking about. A little weird of a stat there. I also noticed that they're only winning records against Kentucky, which is tough to see.
Well, I mean, in the last 25 years, you have the end of the Jackie Sherrill era where he went 3-8, 3-9, 2-10. Then you had Sylvester Croom, who had four losing seasons in 5 years. And then you have what's happened the last, you know, 3 years with Arnett and the 2 years of Lebby. There's a lot of losing football in there. The highs have been high, but the lows have been very, very low.
Well, a lot of coaches also, too. You kind of just hinted at there.
Well, I mean, but Jackie, Sylvester Croom, Dan Mullen, Joe Moorhead, Mike Leach, Zach Arnett, now Jeff Lebby. So that's seven head coaches in 25 years.
Yeah.
Most programs that had seven head coaches in 25 years wouldn't have any success to speak of in that time frame. State has had plenty of it, but not against South Carolina.
I think if they would have played last year, it would have been fairly close because they were both teams were around the same kind of.
Yeah, that both teams weren't good. Yeah. So I would have probably had South Carolina as a favorite in that game just because State was so bad. I feel like Sellers would have been able to run the football on Mississippi State. They couldn't run the football as a team last year for whatever reason. We'll talk a little bit more about this year's game when we come back. Let's do this interview now. Lulu Kesson joins us. She covers the Gamecocks for the Greenville News out there in the great state of South Carolina. All interviews, as you know, brought to you by our friends over at Alora Modern Wellness. If you're going to go out this weekend and get after it, you need to recover. What?
Just get after it.
Get after it.
That's a good attitude to have when you're going out.
Well, you know, if you're going to go out,
be safe, but yeah.
Be safe, but go out. You know, have a good time.
Cut the one, two, or three beers crap.
Yeah.
That's
no, we shouldn't say that. That seems like a.
Let's not. Okay.
Yeah, let's not encourage.
Be safe.
Let's not encourage binge drinking.
Let's not encourage it.
What we will encourage.
First, fine.
What we will encourage is a trip to Alora Modern Wellness afterwards. Get yourself taken care of and get some recovery. LoraModernWellness.com, or you can call them today. Let's see how close I can get. I think I remember it. 662-268-9255. Boom! Got it. That's another one. It's locked in now. We're at four phone numbers. We're doing good. Alora Modern Wellness brings you our interview with Lulu Kesson of the Greenville News covering South Carolina. Mississippi State starts Southeastern Conference play with a trip to South Carolina, a place that has not done very well for the Bulldogs in years past. Lulu Kesson joins us right now. She covers the Gamecocks for the Greenville News out there in South Carolina. And this is a program in South Carolina that they just haven't had consistency. They've had some ups. They've had some downs under Shane Beamer. It feels like the pieces are in place for them to have one of those up years this season. What are your early thoughts on the Gamecocks?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest reason why they didn't have a great season last year was just how young they were. Obviously, there was a lot of things that went into why they couldn't win games. But overall, kind of like you were just saying, you know, the pieces are there because they're mature, they're older. It's a third year Lenore Sellers now, and that really matters, especially in the transfer portal era. It's rare to see a quarterback and a coach spend 3 years together. So I think early kind of general thoughts is this team should perform a lot better than they did simply because they're more battle tested, they're older, they're wiser, things like that.
You mentioned Sellers, and you know, I think last year was, you know, the first team all SEC quarterback coming out of SEC Media Days. A ton of hype around him. Took a step back. There's no getting around that fact. Why do we believe he'll take a step forward this season?
That's a good question. And I think a lot of people are hoping the reason was because of Mike Shula and, you know, the offense last year. I think in some ways the blame is there and it's valid. I think a lot of it was Sellers. I think in some ways, you know, he had a really great first starting year, but there were still things that kind of went under the rug. People didn't notice that a lot of times, you know, there was still a lot of room to grow. And I think he kind of showed that maybe there was just either a step back or just those things, those issues weren't addressed. You know, I think Lenoris has more confidence in himself, and I think that's sort of what he needs. The way that he carries himself, the way that he's talking now, it seems like there's been some growth. There's been some confidence gained. But I think last year he was in a system that just really wasn't working for him. And I think as somebody that isn't naturally a leader, he probably went in instead of trying to fix things as a whole. And I think probably like his parents say all the time, he's a perfectionist. And I think that when things weren't going really well, instead of trying to reach out and figure out things on a broader scale, it was a lot of like self-inflicted mistakes that just kind of spiraled.
South Carolina struggled running the football last year. And you look in that backfield right now, there's not a lot of proven production there. There's some guys that, talent I think is there, but they haven't done it at this level. Are they going to be better at that aspect of the game this year?
I hope so for their sake. I do think so. I think there are, even though someone like a Matt Fuller isn't in with the same level of tape that Rocket Sanders came in as a transfer 2 years ago and kind of had this 1 year of really great production with the Gamecocks. Like, I do think there's some guys that really want to prove some things. I think the Texas transfer they brought in, those are people that, yes, their individual numbers aren't award winning, but it's experience, it's knowledge. And I think that South Carolina, it comes down to they have to block better. Like South Carolina, no one could really, the best running back couldn't really thrive in that system last year. And I think more kind of up there with what can't really repeat itself is, the offensive line has to be better. Lenoris needs to be protected better, but there needs to be better blocking all the way around. And I think that that's something that really, really is going to be heavily criticized if it's not, because it's almost like, hey, you got rid of all your offensive line and brought new players in. No excuses anymore.
And you mentioned the offensive line, very transfer heavy for South Carolina. The guy I want to ask you about is the guy everybody's asking about, Jacarius Peak, who, Carolina brought in. Everybody thought this was going to be one of the anchors of that offensive line, suffers an injury here in the spring. What is the status for him? Do they expect him to be back to play this fall?
They do. And Beamer's the most recent update from Beamer, obviously, every SEC coach is pretty general and pretty limited in that, but he did say he's ahead of schedule. So I do think Peak will be there at some point, whether that's the season opener, I don't know based on what we've been told now, but I think that they're very much optimistic and not anticipating that he is out for a lot of games based on what we know now.
This was a pretty good defense last year. I wouldn't say they were great by any stretch of the imagination, but they were good enough to have a better record than 4-8, in my opinion. And they bring back a lot of guys. They bring back a lot of experience on this defense. Can they take another step forward to this year, do you think?
I do think so, and I'll credit Clayton White, the defensive coordinator, because I think he does a really nice job of working in people into his system, especially in like a 1 year period. You look at somebody like a Demetrius Knight, a Kyle Kennard, and then you look at somebody like a Brandon Cisse, who just became a, I think, second, third round draft pick. So he's able to kind of pull pieces in, but now he has a foundation of returners. And last year he kind of didn't have that. I don't mean to keep harping on the lack of experience, but like you could tell with a lot of almost missed tackles and the moments when the defense wasn't as great, you're like, okay, that's a sophomore linebacker right there. And I think returning those pieces, even somebody like a Vakari Swain, who, had a breakout year on special teams, but was also really, really important for Clayton as well. So I think the defense should be able to take a step forward. It's hard to compare it to the 2024 team. I just think that level of skill and maturity was just top notch. That's half the reason why they went 9-4. So I think they'll get closer to that than they did last year. But overall, there's a mix of steps to take and definitely things to kind of like keep going up on.
Offense or defense, what's the position battle you had your eye on the closest this spring?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, overall, people kind of want to know, like, okay, who will be protecting Sellers? Like, who are, Beamer's, who's their new offensive line? I think that it'll, like we said, like very transfer heavy. I'm curious to kind of see what the wide receiver room looks like, because you're returning somebody like a Nick Harbor, who obviously is great, but then you have this Purdue transfer, Nitro Tuggle, who, and I know Kendall Briles plays a very wide receiver heavy offense, but like you look at somebody like Tuggle, apparently when he went in the portal, Lenore saw his tape and said like, he's interesting. And then you have some young sophomores. So even though that's not going to be, I think probably a bigger question is like, okay, who's going to be the main running back? I would point to maybe Matt Fuller in that way. But overall, I think there was more question marks on offense. And even though Beamer has some returners in key spots, I think little pieces here and there will be important. And there's a lot of transfers and a lot of new guys to choose from.
Nitro Tuggle is kind of an urban legend here on this podcast. We did a whole segment about him because when we found out his name was Nitro Tuggle, I mean, what can you do with that? South Carolina, Mississippi State, that's week three at South Carolina. That is a massive game very early in the season for two teams that want to get back into the postseason. South Carolina, for what I know, I saw a graphic the other day, 8-1 over the last 25 years. They haven't played every year, but they've dominated this series. And this is two programs that you feel like on paper, there's not that big of a gap between them. Why, I guess, is my question. Why have the Gamecocks been so good against Mississippi State over the last two plus decades?
Yeah, I mean, personally, I'm excited because they haven't played since I've taken over this job. So it is kind of exciting. But I think your point does kind of still stand. Like, there's that record shows a bit more of a talent gap than maybe there's been on the roster. I think one thing, I mean, it's funny because Shane's wife went to Mississippi State, but I think in some ways, South Carolina wins. Like, yeah, I point to almost like the Kentucky series. I think Shane takes a lot of passion. They say they go into every game knowing that they're gonna or thinking they're gonna win, but I do think that South Carolina, in some ways, has shown a little bit of like, okay, they win the games that they really, really want to win. You know, they're really competitive against an Alabama, they're really competitive against an Oklahoma. I mean, they beat Oklahoma 2 years ago, but I mean, I don't want to say too much since I have not seen these two teams play, but I do think that the reason why maybe stats like that show up is because historically South Carolina really buys into the mental element of a game. And I think two programs like a South Carolina and the Mississippi State, there's a lot there. And so I think probably they the it's just like an up notch in that type of energy and things like that.
South Carolina always finishes the year with Clemson. And so we've been asking this question. This is the same question for everybody who does these previews. This is the last one. If I were to run into you the day after the South Carolina Clemson game, what are you telling me about South Carolina's season?
For this year,
Yeah.
that it finally showed what Lenora Sellers is really, really capable of. I think regardless of how the season goes, I think this system is allowing him to show that he can take steps way forward from his 2024 self. Whether pieces around him show up, we'll see, but I think overall, what I've seen from Kendall Briles and Lenora Sellers, that this is kind of the combo that will get him back to the conversations that he was in after last year or before last year.
I think I agree with you. Briles and Sellers, it feels like a match made in heaven. We'll see how it all plays out there on the field. Lulu, really appreciate your time. First time on the podcast with us. We'll definitely have you back on. Lulu Kesson from the Greenville News covering South Carolina. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
So we talked yesterday about Missouri and how that's state's first home conference game and the long streak and so on and so forth. But I think to win that game, you almost have to win this game. You got to have some confidence, right? If you start off 0-1 in conference play, everybody's just going to be looking at that. I think the pressure might be too much at that point for Mississippi State. South Carolina, on paper, is not a great football team. Sellers took a massive step back last year. And I think that Arnett, being such a blitz-happy guy, he can scheme it up to kind of deal with him. Arnett had pretty good success against Kendall Briles when he was at Arkansas. When he was the offensive coordinator there, State did a pretty good job against him. They had they lost in 2021, but in 2020 and 2022, State the Arkansas offense wasn't the reason or wasn't very good in either one of those games. So I buy into Arnett having a little bit of an advantage. Arnett, for whatever reason, in these veer and shoot kind of offenses, like Lebby will tell you, like they had trouble against State when he was there. And then the other side of that is South Carolina's defense last year was pretty good, but it's not great. And I feel like State can elevate with Kamario Taylor. There's a lot of ifs in what I'm saying is the problem, Carlos. So for me, we said yesterday, State needs to be 3-1 after these first four. They can drop one of these games. If they drop at South Carolina, that's fine if they win at Minnesota and beat Missouri. I don't really care what the combination of games is, but it would give State fans a ton of excitement and, the other part of this is an attendance idea. Like, if you can beat South Carolina, you think you have a big crowd against Missouri. But if you lose to them, it's going to be like, eh, I don't know.
I mean, go back to that Tennessee game last year. I mean,
Yeah.
there was a lot of
Being
hope.
4-0 helped.
Yeah, there was a lot of hope going into that game, and then they obviously lose in heartbreaking fashion in overtime. But let's not forget too, Shane Beamer is definitely his chair is warming up there in at South Carolina,
It is.
and you've got a consensus going last year, top five pick in the NFL draft as your quarterback. Now obviously taking a step back, so it almost feels like these it's going to be a matchup of two guys that have a little bit to prove in the conference, especially Beamer. I mean, people were
Beamer's seat is
surprised.
hot.
Oh, his seat is very hot. And I
Yeah.
mean, they when you have a good quarterback and you like you said last year, they have a good defense and they have the result they did, and you go back in this year and you somehow still retain Sellers. I mean, this is year three for that young quarterback. At some point, he's got to take the step up, and that's not entirely all on him. Yes, it is obviously training wise and everything, but you've got to be able to coach him up. So
Yeah.
this is a huge game, and like you said, it'll be what week three with Zach Arnett's defense. So they'll have one shot at a Power Four school to scout that film with Arnett. So he's going to be able to scheme up some good stuff that they probably haven't seen before.
And South Carolina, that they should very easily be 3-0 or 2-0 when they play Mississippi State. They play Kent State and then Towson. I mean, that's a MAC team
Yeah.
and an FCS team. They should win those games very easily. So they'll be 2-0, should be a good crowd. State, if State is coming off of a win, if they've won at Minnesota, they're going to absolutely believe they can go to South Carolina and win. If they lose, I don't know what they're going to be mentally. State's first four games, like, never mind ULM, right? They should win that game, win it easily. If they don't, got a whole different set of issues you and I are going to have to talk about. But at Minnesota, at South Carolina, Missouri, I don't know that any team in the conference has a more intriguing 3-week stretch that is going to completely determine what their season is in term, and especially when you're talking about a team that hasn't had success. Like, yeah, if Alabama, I'm sure they have a 3-game stretch that will determine whether they go to the playoff or not. But Alabama is Alabama. Mississippi State is trying to get back to where they were, 5, 10 years ago. They got to find a way to be 2-1 in that stretch.
They
And
cannot be 0-3.
they cannot. If they're 1-3, I don't know that Lebby is going to be the coach by the time we get to November.
Yeah.
I mean, if they're 1-3 and they still have to play Alabama, LSU, Texas, and
They
Oklahoma,
cannot go 0-3.
I mean, you're talking about you're going 3-9.
They've got to win some of these close games that they lost last year.
Right.
They had way too many close games last. I mean, they should have been a bowl team without the giving them the bowl game.
On paper, this game is very similar to the Florida game last year. Florida was not a good football team. Even though it was on the road, State should have won the game. Their own mistakes cost them, although
Literally threw it away.
they literally threw it away. This year, can't make those same mistakes. I have a lot more faith in Kamario Taylor. I keep going back to that play. I think we talked about it the other day, where I don't think that play happens if Kamario Taylor is your quarterback, because he'll just tuck it and run.
I don't know why a pass was
I don't even want to get into that. That's
called to
I
begin
don't want to
with.
relive that. I don't want to
Let
relive any of those moments.
we yeah, we don't have to
I'm
talk
just
about
saying.
sore subject.
So, yeah, this 3-game stretch at Minnesota, at South Carolina, and Missouri at home. That's State's season. You're 4-0 coming out of that. You are off and running. You're 3-1 out of coming out of that. You're in fine
They'll
shape.
feel good.
You're 2-2, you're in real trouble. And if you're 1-3, the season is over. It is literally that simple. At 1-3, I would go ahead and make a move. I'd just be like, this isn't working. Which would be hilarious because it would mean what? Zach
Zach Arnett
Arnett.
is back as head coach.
Don't
Oh
think
my
Arnett would
gosh.
I don't think Arnett would be the interim in that
No,
scenario. I think they'd let Philip
they've
Montgomery.
watched that movie
I think they
before.
let Philip Montgomery take over at that point,
Yeah.
but regardless. All right. So we've got South Carolina. We've also got a team State's not playing. We did a preview for Tennessee. Our friend Ben McKee from Vols 24/7, it was on with us. That's down the podcast feed if you want to check that interview out. Carl and I'll be back next week. We'll talk about Mississippi State, Texas. We'll have a few more spring previews next week. So we got to Tennessee. We have Texas, Texas A&M, and Vanderbilt left. Is that it? That should be it. That is it. Yeah. So three more to do. We'll get those all done. We'll have a good week next week. Talk to you then. For Carla Barone, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.